Amen. And let's turn our Bibles to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. We are continuing here in the story of, is it the story of Onesimus? Is it the story of Philemon, story of Paul? It's always the story of Christ, isn't it? And what he's done. If you find your place there, we're going to be there in verse 15. If you find you Philemon chapter, verse 15. Find your place if you stand together with me as we enter God in the reading of His Word. Philemon chapter 15. It's hard to say a scripture reference without going chapter. It's just, you know. So anyway, verse 15. Let's just start. For perhaps he, talking about Onesimus, therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Now not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Let's pray together. Father, we are so very thankful, Lord, that our Savior Jesus Christ has come to this earth to pay our debt. Lord, there's no other way. Lord, we can't muster enough works. We can't have enough good behavior, good attitude, not enough good of anything. Lord, it's out, the debt is beyond our ability to pay. So we're thankful for our Savior coming and making that payment and giving His life for us. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us this morning as we continue here in this letter to Philemon. And Lord, You'd use it as You intended in our hearts this morning. And we'll give You thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So Philemon has been invited into a partnership, is what we find. And really, he'd already been invited into it, but he's already been in that partnership. But he's kind of being reminded here in verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. He said, we're already in a partnership, but if you count me in this, if you really understand that we're in this partnership, then I want you to, you know, receive him as myself and that. But now Paul is going to do something beyond this. And that's what we looked at last week, that partnership. He's going to show him what that partnership really looks like. What it really looks like. Point number one is this, a willing substitute. A willing substitute. Look at verse 18. He says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. So, listen. There's no debate here, and Paul doesn't try to make a debate over the debt. He doesn't try to say whether a debt is owed, and we're talking about Onesimus here. He doesn't try to say whether that debt's owed or whether it's not. We cannot argue over the sinfulness of our sin. It's not really that bad. I'm not as bad as, right? That isn't the road to forgiveness. That's not the road. That's not the road of repentance at all. The road of repentance isn't, well, I'm not as bad as, it doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. It's a mass murderer on death row. I can't think of someone that has more sin buildup than that, right? Someone that has just done all kinds of heinous things to the life of other human beings. And yet, when that person receives the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, puts their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, they have just as much forgiveness as the young man, the little boy, the little girl that grew up in church, didn't live in any kind of debauchery, and at age 10, they turned to Jesus Christ in faith and trust. Same salvation. Our sin debt, the pile of our sin does not change that at all. We can't argue over the sinfulness of our sin. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Man, I'll tell you what. You know what's fair? What's not fair is that any of us would have the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to come and give us. Whether he would come and give his life for the little boy or the little girl that really did no heinous crimes, or the one over here that did a whole list of wickedness. Listen, there's neither one deserve that sin to be put onto his account. None. So we're not talking about fairness, folks. We can't argue the sinfulness of sin. Paul doesn't minimize the cost of Onesimus' sin either. He doesn't minimize it. He doesn't do this kind of thing. The issue now is not what Onesimus did, but how the work of God will move forward from here. Paul steps up to voluntarily assume responsibility for Onesimus' debt. So Paul steps up and he said, whatever he's done, right? In verse 18 it says, if he've wronged thee, the if doesn't, and we've talked about this in the past, the if doesn't mean, well, if he really did. No, the if does really means in this sense, because he did. Whatever that is. If there's anything that you're counting as wrong, all of it, here's what the Apostle Paul says. Put that on my account. Put that on my ledger. Right? And I spent some time studying this verse, spent some time to really get the gist of this, right? What is Paul really saying? Because there's some language here in English that's a little bit not exactly sure, and what does it mean this, or does it mean that, but it really goes on to this. It's not, we could almost get the idea of the language that goes on in verse 19 as well, that Paul is saying, you could put it on my account, but you already owe me anyway. And so, put that on my account, but, you know, I've already bought other stuff for you. No, that's not the context of it here. The context is, I'm going to pay that. I want to pay what he owes. And this is an action. Give it to me. What he owes. Now, the Apostle Paul was a pretty wealthy man. No, he was not a wealthy man. He made his living by doing odd jobs on the side. Tent maker, right? Doing some things on the side here and there when he could. He received offerings from churches to sustain his ministry, right? To sustain his life. Others along the way helped him, right? So for him saying, I want to pay the cost for this man, he wasn't talking about from his abundance. He was literally talking from his own needs. So when we think of this, I got you. I appreciate people say, I got you. You know, somebody takes you out to a meal, they're like, no, I got the bill, right? My kids love it when I do that. I don't always do that. And sometimes they've even taken the bill for me. They take care of me almost every week. Buying, when they go out to eat, to get, whether it's pizza or whether it's Taco Bell or other Taco Bells. No, anyway, when they do that, they go and buy it, and they don't say, Daddy, here's what you owe me. Never. Aren't you glad for that? I am. Amen. Aren't you glad when somebody puts it on their account? Right? And sometimes they put it on their account out of abundance. And we still appreciate it, right? Still appreciate it. You know, hey, you know, some guy, yeah, no, let me buy your meal. You know, folks, by the way, it's a great token to someone, right? I learned as a missionary, it's a weird thing. Everywhere you go, people would be buying your meals, right? You take them in, which I think is the right thing to do. The Bible talks about helping them on their way, you know, as they're, you know, so I think that's, and so sometimes I'd be with a meeting with somebody and I'd be like, preacher, let me, you know, and you're there for several days or something. And you're like, let me buy. And they're like, I learned something. And they're like, no, you're not paying in my town. Well, you're here with us. We're taking care of you, you know. And so we do the same thing. Somebody comes here. We want to take care of them. You know, and I'll tell them. And I say, I was one of these missionaries. I think it was, the Walters. I think it was the Walters. And they said, can we pay for the meal? And I said, no. He said, no, let us pay. I said, no, you're not paying here. Not going to pay. You're not going to come to our church and I said, I'll tell you what. I said, when I come to Japan, you can pay for the meal. And they said, okay, good. Come, we'll want you to come, this and that. And they still haven't given me an invite yet. But anyway, so there's the kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you what, when there's a difference, what Paul was talking about here, this wasn't out of abundance. This was out of his need, out of his want, right? Not out of his want, rather, but out of his need, requiring this. And he says, whatever he owes, I'm going to take care of that because I want to make this right. I want to make it right. I don't want to make you, here's what Paul is saying. I don't want to make you carry the burden for this man that I'm asking you to forgive. I want to do something about it. It's really weird here. So something, our Christian thinking can get mixed up. You know, sometimes who we think is going to give us the best deal if we wanted to get work done? Christian company. Right? We get a Christian company, you're like, oh man, they're a Christian. They're going to give me the best deal because I'm also a Christian. Here's the problem with that. You know what they're thinking? Oh, they're a Christian. They know they're going to help my business, so they're going to give me the best. Right? And, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I want you to give me a good deal because I'm a Christian. And Dave's like, well, I want you to give me a good tip because I'm a Christian. You know, sometimes what we think is people ought to just, as Christians, we ought to just constantly be a blessing to each other. Mostly, you ought to be a blessing to the people I'm sending to you. Right? Is that true? Yeah, that's true. Amen. 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 But there's this other part that says, I don't want to put the burden on you. I'm asking you to receive them. I'm going to take it on me. I'm going to take it out of my expense, out of my living, out of my life, to be a blessing. Not out of the church fund, not out of the church budget, not out of not asking you to suck up the cost, but I'm going to do this kind of in a way that I want to help and be a blessing in this way. Man, doesn't it? It speaks to how serious I am about really getting this across. And this is really what Paul's doing. And this is kind of the gist of what he's saying here when he comes and he says, if whatever he's done, whatever he owes, if he's wronged thee at all or oweth thee, put that on my account. Paul steps between the offender and the offended, steps between them. And says this, I'll bear the cost. I'll bear the cost. This is an obligation. This is love choosing sacrifice. I will pay. I will pay. I will surrender. Watch this. He said this, I'll surrender not for my profit, not for my gain, but for the life of another. For him. I want you to do this. I'm going to take this. This is Paul doing exactly what he watched Jesus Christ do. We sin against God. Amen? We owe a debt. We owed a debt that we could not pay. Christ stepped in and he said this, I'm putting that on my account. Jesus Christ stepped between God, the Father, and mankind. And Jesus stepped in the midst of it, went up on the cross, and he said, put that on my account. That's what he said. Put that on my account. I will pay it. He's the only one that could do that. So Paul isn't inventing a new principle here. You know, I think I'm going to do something really novel. No. He did what he watched. He's living out, watch this, he's living out the very gospel that he preached. If you've ever tried to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, the gospel message, you ought to live it out. Amen? Amen? Y'all with me? Y'all with me this morning? If we're gonna tell somebody what God does for them, then we ought to imitate what we said we believe. Paul binds himself personally. Look again, verse 19. He says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. This isn't him saying, you know, maybe I'll do it. I guess if I have to. No. This is deliberate. This is costly. And this is real. Partnership in God's work always involves someone willingly stepping in to bear the cost for another. That's what the gospel is. It's someone else stepping in, bearing the cost for another. Maybe that cost is going across the street to invite him. Well, that's not much of a cost. Well, if you're very nervous to go across the street, it is. There's somebody over there. Matter of fact, I'd rather just stay in my house, sit on my easy chair, and I go over there. You know what they're going to tell me? No. Call me names. My family, I try to tell them they don't want anything to do with me, right? Right? These kind of things. And so there's always a cost. Second point, though, is this. Bearing cost brings refreshment, not resentment. Look at verse 20 now. He says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Okay, this is a natural flow from substitution. Okay, here's what happened. When a debt is paid, the offender is relieved. Amen? I mean, like, you ever had a big debt that you were working on paying that off for years? Months, weeks, months, years, and all of a sudden you pay it off and it's like, whew, right? I mean, you ever paid off a mortgage? I've not. I've heard of it. Some of y'all paid off a mortgage. I can't even imagine what that'd be like. Man, that'd be awesome. I've paid on them a long time. You ever paid off a car? Yeah, I've done that. Paid off a car, and it's like you're making that payment, or student debt. There's something. It's not tangible. It's just a debt. And it's there, and you're carrying it, or some kind of loan that you did for something or whatever, and you're carrying this thing, and it's going, and it's always on you, and you're making these payments, and all of a sudden, when that debt is paid, wow, man, it feels good. The offended is relieved. The relationship now, in this respect, that we're talking about this debt of sin. And here's what else happens. My pastor used to tell me many years ago, he said this. He said, I never loan people money. Never loan believers money. He said, if I'm going to give it, I give it. They'll loan it. He said, if they pay it back, that's between them and the Lord. He said, but if I loan them money and they're not paying me, every time I see them doing anything extra, I'm wondering why they didn't give it to me. I see them at a restaurant, like why they go in the restaurant. They haven't paid me yet. I see them buying a new vehicle or this or that, and like, why have you paid me? And he said, it breaks relationship. He said, he taught me this very early in my life. He said, in my Christian life, and he said, I don't loan money. I'm like, all right, I need some money. No. And so he said this, and there's a relationship. So when you owe a debt to somebody, or someone owes a debt to you, it kind of distorts the relationship, doesn't it? It changes that relationship from being about two people to being about money, watching. And so when this debt is upon somebody, when this debt is paid, the relationship can then be restored. The burden is removed. Not just ignored, but peace is established. It's not postponed till later. So there is a joy that is received in forgiveness, he says here. And this is an interesting, this is some interesting language that we find in here. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Okay, so this joy that he's talking about here is not just an emotional feeling of happiness. Right? I like joy. I like joy like when my football team wins. Dallas Cowboys fan, so I don't really get much joy, right? And so, but I like it when somebody wins the game or when your political person that you're going for, when they win, there's joy, right? There's excitement when instead of being really cold, it's really nice and warm out, like about 85 or so. And you're like, yes, that brings, right? Right? Me, that brings me joy. Some of y'all are like, man, this brings me joy. Y'all are, anyway. So when things happen, but that's really more of a feeling of happiness. The word here is the Greek word anonymi. Anonymi. You're like, what does that mean? Well, it means this. But here's what it means. It actually speaks of benefit, of being helped, being refreshed, and being relieved. It's a play on words. It's really what's called a cognate in language. It's a cognate. It's another form of another word, right? It's a cognate means it's the same base of the word, but it has a little bit different variety. It's a cognate of the name Onesimus, right? So what he's saying is using the play on words, which the name Onesimus means to be profitable, is what he said back there in verse 11, which in times was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. So there again, he was using a play on words. There he was using meanings. Here he's using a form of the verb that's meaning to be helped, to be refreshed. Listen, forgiveness doesn't simply feel good. It does good. It's different. Paul is not asking Philemon to feel something, but to do something that will result in spiritual profit. Forgiveness is not commanded because it feels good. Because sometimes it doesn't feel good. It's commanded because it does good. Amen? See the difference? Big difference, isn't it? If I forgive somebody for doing something really mean to me, Hayden does mean stuff to me every week. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But if Hayden does something mean to me constantly, and I say, yeah, I'm going to forgive you. I forgive you. I let him off the hook, right? We talk about this a lot, right? I let him off the hook. It doesn't always feel good. I like keeping him on the hook. Right? You ever gone fishing, you catch a fish, and it's coming in, and you get it right, and you see it, man, it's a big one. Big one. At least, you know, you think. And right at the end, when you're about, it gets off the hook. Letting someone off the hook doesn't feel good. It's not about feeling good. It's about doing good. See the difference? And this is what that word joy is, what Paul is talking about here. And it's this thing. But Paul points to a second kind of refreshment here in verse 20. Look again. He says, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord." And then he says this, "Refresh my bowels in the Lord." Of course, we remember bowels, and this means our heart. It's kind of our terminology today. Refresh me. Refresh my heart, right? Bring me refreshment in the Lord through this. He's asking him to do something. He's saying this, "Let me have joy of thee. Refresh my bowels, my heart in the Lord." There is a refreshment in paying it forward. Okay. This, Paul understood what it meant for Christ to bear his debt. If there's anyone understood, it was the Apostle Paul. He preached on it, talked about it, wrote about it constantly. He understood it. He got it. He understood what it meant for Christ to bear his sin debt. Now Paul finds joy in bearing another's debt. Not their sin debt, but in a sense the sin debt. Not the salvation kind of sin debt, but the debt of what was accumulated by Onesimus' sin. This is the joy of our salvation. Really, it's really this. The joy of our salvation being remembered. So when I invest in someone else's life, and I get between them we're not talking about paying for sin in the way of salvation, but we're talking about this is somebody that was saved, right? It's somebody that they had hurt. He's kind of getting in the middle of it. Man, I'm telling you, there's nothing more exciting that brings this joy, not the kind of joy that just makes you feel good. I just feel so warm. No, not like that. That passes. But when you have God in the middle, not to be... Okay, let me cover this first before we miss this part. Because if my goal is to be seen, trying to do this almost always turns ugly. I just, hey, listen, I know you two are fighting, Y'all are always at each other. Y'all hate each other. And I just want to, I'm here to help you too. So I become your best friend. I become your best friend. And I'm very important. You know what I want? And they're like, and I see them over there later talking. And I'm like, hey, is everything okay? You good? You know what? I want to just be seen. I want to get some credit. Right? It almost always ends up ugly. Right? But matter of fact, when I see them now, me getting in between and sacrificing my time, my energy, my hurt, my pain, because I risk my relationship with both of them. When I get in the middle, and they're over there talking, you know what, I'm over here and I see them now talking and have fixed that. You know what, I don't have to be in the midst of it. Now I can be over here being refreshed that what God used me for that kind of thing. And I'm telling you, it's refreshing. It reminds me of what God did for me. Because, matter of fact, if I'm getting in between anybody and their sin in any kind of way, it's only because of what Jesus Christ did for me. It's a wonderful thing. So when we step in for others, we're reminded of what Jesus Christ did for us. And I'm telling you, our own salvation becomes fresh again. I'm telling you, we need to have our salvation freshened up. Amen? I mean, I'm not saying, can I get baptized? No, I'm just saying, be reminded, be freshened up. Man, something's like, yeah, I got saved. Well, tell me about when you got saved. Man, it's so long ago, I don't even remember. Something's wrong. You ain't talked about it enough. You haven't shared it enough. And if your story is what happened way back there, the last time you did something for Jesus Christ, you got to go back and you don't go back in your weekly calendar. You're going in your annual calendars. You need to have your salvation fresh. And the way we do this, we get up in the midst of people's lives. Love-driven sacrifice renews joy. The work of God is refreshed, not when we're forced, But when we give willingly. So bearing the cost for the gospel does not drain joy, and most often restores it. So here's the third thing. Proven character pressed forward. Look at verse 21. Paul says this to Philemon. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee. See what he says there? Having confidence in you, I wrote to you, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. This is not a letter of correction to a resistant man. You understand? This isn't a Philemon. It's like, I know what you're going to do, but now, and I've talked about this already. This isn't a letter of correction. He is not straightening out Philemon's disobedience. This isn't Onesimus went and Philemon didn't do the right thing, so he came back and said, Paul, no, this isn't that. This isn't that. He is encouraging obedience that's already been present. I'm telling you, folks, through the years in the ministry, I have dealt with people that you're trying to convince them to be decent people. No, really. You're trying to convince them to be a decent Christian, and they're trying to argue. People that have been in church a long time and supposedly say, you're trying to convince them that what their behavior is unsinful. It's sinful. It's not right with God. And you're trying to convince them that, man, this is wicked. This isn't right. This is unholy. No, I don't think it is. I think it's fine. Man, I'm telling you, that's hard. As a pastor, you still got to do it. That's not pleasant. I'm telling you, that doesn't refresh my joy at all. And then there's others that you're trying to encourage that already has good character. You're trying to encourage them to do some hard things. And really, it's really the title of the message this morning is this, Pressed Beyond Comfort. Okay? Pressed Beyond Comfort. Philemon had character. Philemon has faith. He has love. He already has all those things. It's already there in him. And Paul already knows this about him. And this is, he says it again in verse 21. He said, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto you. And listen, knowing you is why I wrote this. And under that, under those, that aspect and that understanding, I wrote unto you. But he is now pressing Philemon beyond comfort. And he says this at the end of verse 21, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. And I love this. I'm telling you, people surprise me with this. I shouldn't say, it is true. They surprise me with this all the time. You're asking somebody, hey, would you do this in this city? Oh, yeah, I'll do this. And then they go further. And that's exciting. I love that. You ever had somebody that worked for you and you had them do a job and they did just enough to say they did the job? Right? I know in some of these kind of industry different things that you do, you know, like, hey, I need you to go do this. And they're like, okay. And they come and you're like, hey, did you do that? Yeah, I did. You're like, wait, you did? No, I did it. And you can tell that what they did was they did just enough to say they did it. And you're like, well, you know, I meant like, paint the edges, right? And maybe, I don't know if you paint edges or what you do, but yeah, you know, I meant to, like, when I said, you know, patrol the area, I meant like the whole area, not like I went one fence. You know what I'm saying? You know, not this thing, you know, and I said, hey, do it. Check over my whole vehicle. And they just checked the spark plugs. Yeah, everything's good. The fluids are full. No, I wanted it. You know, and somebody, well, no, I did it, right? Isn't that a blessing? No, that's what you call almost a blessing. When you ask somebody, hey, would you just check over my vehicle? And they're like, yeah, I'd be glad to. And they go and check over it, and they come back. They put air in your tires. They filled up your windshield washer stuff, right? Who wants to do that? Nobody does that until it's like out for like 3 weeks, right? And somebody goes and does that, and then they go fill up your tank, and they come back, yeah, we got you all set up. You're like, well, no, I just wanted to check. I didn't want to do all that. Yeah, no, I just want to do that. See, this is what Paul said about Philemon. He said, I know you're, what I know about you, my confidence in you, is you're not going to just do enough. You're not going to just accept this. You're not going to just accept it back. He said, you know what he's saying? He said, I said that you're knowing that thou will also do more than I say. You're going to do more. By the way, that's not a bad thing here. This is a positive thing. It's talking about his character. He said, listen, this isn't persuasion. Paul's like, yeah, I know you're going to do more than I say. Right? Right? You're going to do more than I say, right? Aren't you? No, it's not persuasion. Yeah, you know who that was. sorry. This is confidence. This is Paul saying, this is who you are, Philemon. Now step further into who you are. You know, I like people thinking well of me. Amen? Don't you? You like people thinking well of me? No. I mean, you want people to... By the way, I want people thinking well of you. If I say, oh yeah, they're a member of Heritage Baptist Church, then like, oh, I don't want that. You know what I want? I'm like, oh wow, that's great. Right? So I want people thinking well of you. You probably want people thinking well of me. But you know, I want people to think well of me. I want people to think this is... But you know what? You know what that's going to take? It's going to take a pattern of making some good choices. Right? And this is what Philemon evidently did. And Paul now has confidence in him. But here's the thing, folks. I don't get into a pretty decent life that people think well of me and then stop doing stuff that got me there. You know what happens? The Lord is going to keep pressing us further. You're doing good, brother. You're doing good. But now we're going to have to move to the next. God said, I want to move you to the next level. Okay? No. Listen. Grace often pushes us, watch this, not away from our character, but beyond our comfort. You see that? God's not, listen, this isn't a letter of God saying, Philemon, you're messing up, you need to get this thing right. It's not, a lot of the Bible is written like that, be honest. But this isn't that. This is unique here. What's really awesome about this letter, this isn't about somebody that's already doing wrong. This is about somebody that's already had a habit of doing right. And God said, now I want to press you further into that. I want to press you, your character is great, you're doing great, but you're not there yet. I want you to continue with it. For some people, it's like, man, they've been super faithful coming to a service. And God said, man, you've been great. I know I can count on you being here at this service. I love that. Amen. I as a pastor, faithful church folk appreciate other faithful church folk. Amen. And when you look around and people aren't there, it's discouraging. It's disheartening. It's unsettling. But when that person is there in their place, it's just, man, I know I count on them. You know, sometimes I'm counting who's going to be here. And I'm thinking, you know, and I think through who's going to be there. It's encouraging. You know, and I have confidence who's going to be there. And then sometimes God said, okay, you've been good at this. But now I want to press you past that. I want to press you past just being there. I want to press you into taking a step of involvement, right? When I got here, you know, a couple years plus ago, I was wanting somebody to do the missionary letters, and I'd asked a couple people, and so I said, John, Brother John, he just came Sunday morning, right? Pretty exclusively Sunday morning, and he came every Sunday morning. Praise the Lord for that. I was thankful. And I said, brother, I said, I want to just, you know, you speak well. I wonder if you would be willing to do this. He said, I don't really come Sunday nights. You know, it's late for me or this and that. I think he gave a couple pretty decent excuses, you know. And he said, I do. And I said, well, I said, either you do or you're not a member of this church anymore. No, I didn't. I said, hey, just think about it. Just think about it. I didn't pressure, maybe a little bit. I just, hey, think about it. And he came back and he said, yeah, I'll try that. And so, it's been over 2 years. That's been about 2 years ago. And now he's here Wednesday night. He's here Friday. He's here everything. You know what happened? He got pushed, and it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. It's like, man, I kind of like, you know, watching my program Sunday night. No, I don't know. But, you know, I kind of like, you know, this, that. You know what happened? It got pressed beyond comfort and found out, and now you talk to him like, man, I can't imagine not coming Sunday night. Right? See how that happens? And so it wasn't that, I mean, he was faithful in this, appreciated that. It was great, and I knew he was going to be there, and, you know, he never got stuck in traffic. It's a blessing, you know, and he's going to be there, and it's great, and, you know, he watched for the trash going. I mean, all this thing, man, I was great for that, and so, but then it was like, hey, I'm not trying to make people feel uncomfortable on purpose. But God is. God is trying to press us beyond that comfort. You see, He wants to press us beyond our comfort into something that's greater than we ever thought we had before. And it is. Becomes something exciting. It's not persuasion, it's confidence. And listen, this is the tone of that entire letter. Paul is not coercing. He is calling Philemon to go forward. God often uses encouragement, not correction, to move faithful people into greater obedience. Now, that doesn't sound very Baptist, does it? Let me say that again. Y'all think about that. God often uses encouragement, not correction, to move faithful people into greater obedience. I can remember many years ago, I was talking to a pastor, and we were at youth camp just hanging out. And I said, so what do you preach on Sunday nights? He said, Sunday nights I always preach an encouraging message. Like what? I mean, I was honest. I'm like, what do you mean an encouraging message? I didn't know what an encouraging message meant. Like, you don't tell people why they need to get right with God and press for, you know. And he said, well, I just, you know, one of the encourages them. And I'm like, could you like give me an example? I'm serious. I'm to my own shame. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, and he gave me something. I'm like, I don't even understand how to preach that. Isn't that terrible? You know? Thou shalt. That's easy. Thou shalt thus and thus, and you get it right with God and correct your way. That's easy to preach because we're all like that. We're full of sin. But this is... what we find is God will often use encouragement to move us, faithful people, already into greater obedience. Here's the fourth thing this morning is this. What does all this have to do with missions giving? Like, how are you going to wrap this one up? Right? You know I got a way. Okay. So... the gospel still advances the same way, right? The gospel still advances the same way. Christ bore our sin debt on the cross. Believers then become the ones God has chosen to bring that message to others, right? And listen, the work moves forward through willing partners. All the same things we're reading here. Missions giving is one way that we can say, put that on my account. These people, these places, we read these letters, we hear about these people. We don't see their faces all the time. We don't know about them. Sometimes we have them in the letters. And there's someone over there that we didn't create the sin debt for them. We didn't create the problem. We didn't create the need. We didn't cause the debt. But because of what Christ did for us, we can now step in so that others can experience that same grace. Listen, it's our way of saying, Lord, I want to put that on my account that the gospel can get to them. Listen, giving is not pressure. I hate that concept, and I've tried real hard not to get that here, folks. I've really tried hard to get that here, and you're like, well, I just feel like that. Well, I'm just telling you, I've tried hard not to. It's not grabbing the arm and twisting. Come on, you got to do this if you're going to be right with God. I don't want us to do that. I don't want it to be a pressure. It is participation. See, it's not pressure, it's participation. It's not guilt-driven. It's gratitude-shaped. And often, it renews our joy in our own salvation. It's not... It ought to be something because of what Jesus Christ did for us. We want to do that for others. Here's our conclusion this morning. Paul trusted Philemon's heart, but he still pressed him beyond comfort. Not because he doubted him, but because he believed in him. I'd say the same thing for our church. We're not going in this avenue, in this way of faith, promise, missions, giving, because we're just not doing enough, folks. That's not it. It's pressing us beyond our comfort to the next level. God does this with us. And we're not being corrected. We're being invited. Invited to remember our own salvation and share in that cost and participate in the work of God. Here's the challenge this morning is this. God stepped in. Jesus Christ stepped in for us. Paul stepped in for Onesimus. Are we ready to step in so that others may hear the gospel? Some will step in by going. Amen. Some are going to step in by going. Some are going to step in by giving. But all of us are being invited to move beyond our own comfort into joyful participation in the work of the Lord to say, put that on my account. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would help us today, Lord, to take this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. And Lord, you inspired it, preserved it for us, Lord, because you got a message for us. And Lord, today we need to have our hearts and minds stirred. This isn't correction here this morning, Lord. It's to press us into the beyond our comfort. Lord, a place that will bring us a joy and refreshing. We might be a part of what you are doing in the world. Lord, I pray today, if you're willing, way this morning, speak to hearts, this time of invitation. We'll give you thanks for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if God has spoken to your heart, now is the time for you to come. Maybe you begin praying, Lord, I don't know what it is that you'd have me to do. Maybe this morning you're coming and you're praying, God, I want to... I want to be praying about what you'd have to do to put that on my account. Maybe some other things on your heart. Folks, I don't know what it is this morning, but if God has spoken to you, please now come. Now is the